Special coverage of the spring primary election, live on your local civic media radio station.
News director Terry Bell and a team of political experts will be tracking the results, which determine the candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, moving on to the general election in April.
Your special election coverage starts now, live on your local civic media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The time is 8:06 and the polls in Wisconsin for this primary election are closed as we await tonight's results. But if you are listening and still in line at your polling place to cast a ballot, stay right where you are. Assuming you were in line before 8 o'clock, you must and will be allowed to cast your ballot by Wisconsin law. Good evening, I'm Terry Bell. We're joined by a host of experts tonight. Todd Aubaugh is with me in the studio, and also our analyst, Maurice Shepard, Madison College political scientist, are all here to give us some perspective on the race. Todd, you're also here to talk to us about some of the important judicial races, most notably Wisconsin Supreme Court, one we may have heard of
A few people may have heard of. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a few TV ads and a few radio shows as well. It's a pleasure to join you tonight, Terry, at the anchor desk, as well as all of our fine staff and civic media news across the statewide network. An exciting night. This is one, Terry, that people have been looking forward to for a long time, particularly those who play in political parlance in the state. This has been coming tonight, Terry, since 2016. And that was the year that Joanne Kloppenburg lost to Rebecca Bradley and started this whole trend. 2018, it was Rebecca Dallet, the progressive, who beat Michael Chernock. And then in 2019, that was the year that progressives thought they could get a win there in 2019 and recapture the court. But it was Brian Hagedorn who beat Lisa Neubauer by less than 6,000 votes that night in the general election for conservatives to hang on to the court. And then, of course, in 2020, Jill Karofsky beat Dan Kelly, one of the people up tonight, and that tonight gives the progressives a chance to recapture or start to recapture the court tonight as long as one of their people get through the four-way primary.
And that just goes to show how competitive our state Wisconsin is politically. With more on that, we're joined by Maurice Shepard, political scientist at Madison College. And Maurice, I guess, is there anything from the recent past that may indicate to us what is going to happen with the high court this spring?
Well, in terms of the primary, it's interesting in terms of turnout. The weather may actually play a role this evening in terms of maybe suppressing some of that turnout. In terms of the high court, they have a number of issues to address. As many have pointed out, reproductive rights, issues related to election administration, voting rights and that sort. But I also like to point out that, you know, we may be at the beginning of a real change on the court. You know, so right now we have one member that's once again retiring, Justice Pat Rogensack. But if you look at sort of the schedule, there are a number of other Supreme Court justices that are coming up on the end of their term. So over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, we may see a huge sea change. So, you know, let's just hold on now. You know, we may be at the beginning of, once again, what could be a conservative wave, or it could be a liberal wave, or it could be some mix of the two in there.
Anything in the tea leaves which makes you think it could go one way or the other this spring?
In terms of this spring, I think there's still energy on the, well, one, Republican conservatives continue to once again show up in these sort of off election year campaigns. But I think there is a bit more energy on the liberal side for liberal voters, Democratic voters. Again, the reproductive rights issue is still out there. That's a major issue. Campaign finance reform, that's still something that motivates people. And quite frankly, there are also some current cases before the U.S. Supreme Court that may actually motivate more people to show up. In particular, there's a case before the U.S. Supreme Court that they will make they will hand out an opinion on sometime this spring on affirmative action in higher education. You know, depending on their decision in that case, it may, again, have sort of the same boost in terms of getting more, once again, sort of voters out there, particularly, once again, on the liberal Democratic side.
What do you make of the way that the candidates are campaigning this spring, particularly Janet Protasiewicz? Usually judicial candidates don't like to tip their hands too much. But if you ask her, she'll tell you what she thinks about, ballot drop box rules and political boundaries and abortion. Are we seeing a change in way that judicial candidates run for office more overtly political?
Yeah, and my comments come again, sort of nonpartisan sort of analysis here. But yeah, I think she's running a very smart campaign. She's in the political science literature, we would call this, she has very good home style. She's very relaxed. She speaks in a way that, once again, the average voter can understand and understand what she's saying, and they can relate to her. She's actually something of fresh air because when you watch the other three candidates for, once again, the top court, they don't tip their hand on anything, and that's sort of the tradition. But she's very open, very transparent, and I think that that plays well with many voters. Many voters see that as a positive.
We want to bring Todd Albaugh into the program now, the host of the Todd Albaugh Show on Civic Media. And Todd, you were looking at that race and a few others tonight.
It's an exciting race, as a professor said there, to watch all these, particularly the Supreme Court race. That is the key race we're going to be watching tonight as election results come in. Let's take a look at those candidates once again, just in case people have been under a rock for the last couple of months and haven't been paying attention. On the progressive side, of course, it's Judge Janet Protasiewicz, Milwaukee County judge. She has outraised her opponents, all three combined, $2.3 million so far. And, of course, politics, the mother's milk is money, whether it's a non-partisan race or not, but money certainly played a factor as Judge Protasiewicz getting her name out there. She has the backing of the vast majority of the Democratic Party and the party machine as well. Also, for the progressive side, you have Judge Everett Mitchell, a Dane County judge, support by perhaps more the liberal wing of the other Democratic Party here in Wisconsin, still raising a decent amount, $223,000, and this reporting on the money is from, we should credit Molly Beck from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting this morning. And then on the conservative side, you have Judge Jennifer Doro, the Waukesha County judge. She is the judge that oversaw that trial of the driver of the vehicle that tragically tore through the Waukesha Christmas parade last year. She oversaw that trial. That's really what shot her to prominence as basically a TV lawyer or TV judge in that point, if you could. She's raised about $756,000 in her campaign so far. And then the final contender tonight for the conservative side, former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly. Now, he was appointed by former Governor Republican Scott Walker. He lost in 2020 to progressive Jill Karofsky. He's raised about $467,000. The interesting part tonight, Terry, the professor talked about this as well. There's so much at stake. There's so much. It's not just this primary tonight and who's going to face off in the general election, but these are technically nonpartisan races, but we all know that Republicans play on the conservative side, Democrats play on the liberal or progressive side. For Democrats tonight, a chance to retake the court or begin to retake the court and change it to 4-3, and if that happens, you could see court cases on things like gerrymander maps that could redraw legislative and congressional district lines in Wisconsin for the next 8 years or so. You could see, after last year's U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade and returned abortion laws to the states, a 4-3 progressive Wisconsin court could allow for reconsideration of overturning Wisconsin's abortion laws from 1849, which bans abortion even in cases of rape and incest. On the Republican side, this has the potential to undo some of their biggest, in their eyes, achievements. A 4-3 progressive court could mean repealing Scott Walker's Act 10. It could get rid of or greatly reduce public school vouchers. And yes, challenging those maps, those gerrymandered maps, that could mean Republicans are going to have a lot harder time getting a veto-proof majority in a Evers-controlled legislature.
Thank you very much, Todd Albaugh. Stick around. We are going to take a look at races from central Wisconsin and the Fox Valley as election night coverage continues on your local Civic Media radio station.
This This is continuing coverage of the Wisconsin spring primary election on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It is primary election night in Wisconsin, the first act of two this spring as we decide a very important Supreme Court race in this state and also many other important races all around Wisconsin. Todd Albaugh, speaking of important Supreme Court race, my goodness, we already have some numbers coming in.
At 18 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, polls just closed. And reminder, probably not going to happen, but if you are listening and happen to be in line still waiting to vote, legally and technically, as long as you were there at 8 o'clock, you can still stay in line and still cast your ballot. So I want to remember and remind people of that. But so far, according to WisconsinVote.org, which we're following tonight, 19% of votes are now just literally updated as I looked at it. Now 23% of votes counted so far, and Judge Janet Protasiewicz is leading with 48.2%, followed by Jennifer Doro with 23.5%, Dan Kelly at 18.9%, and Everett Mitchell at 9.5%. So a little over probably about 125,000, 130,000 ballots cast so far. But right now it's Janet Protasiewicz leading the way.
We may be in for a speedy night.
We may well be.
We're covering a lot of races besides the state Supreme Court. Melissa Kay is based in central Wisconsin. She's keeping an eye on races in her backyard as well as the Fox Valley. Good evening, Melissa.
Good evening, Terry. How are you?
I'm great. You know, before we get to the politics, how's the weather up there?
Well, so far it's been pretty quiet.
Okay, that's good.
So we're doing all right.
It's not going to stay quiet from what I understand.
No, not so much.
Melissa, what races are you following for us tonight?
So I'm covering the Green Bay mayor race, and there's four people running for mayor in Green Bay. We've got the incumbent, Eric Genrick, and he's seeking a second term. Then there's Paul Buescher. He's an unemployed social researcher. Jane Yuza, she's a laundromat owner and home health care worker, small business owner. She's got a lot of irons in the fire. And then Chad Weininger, who is the Brown County Administration Director. So that looks to be an interesting race. You've got two highly qualified candidates running, obviously the incumbent and then the Brown County Executive. And then two people who are very of the people. Like they have a close connection to the people that live in that area, that live in that town. There's a few issues there, but we'll see how it comes out in the polls.
What seems to be motivating any challenges to the incumbents? Do they have any kind of unifying theme of what they think needs to be changed?
Well, everybody's talking about homelessness issues and, you know, like employment problems and keeping and retaining good employees and finding affordable housing. That's an issue that is statewide in a lot of these local races. Some of the options for solving these problems are interesting, especially from the, I don't want to say less qualified, but you could consider it that way without having any experience previously in, you know, like a county position. But those kind of ideas, I think that we need. So they may be better now that they've run for mayor to try for a county position if they don't make it as mayor.
Maurice Shepherd, I see you nodding your head. It sounds like a lot of what Ms. Liz is saying tracks with what you know.
Yeah, no, exactly. In terms of at the municipal level, the large and small, many municipalities share some of those same problems. Homelessness and the issue of affordable housing, that is first and foremost, we are having, once again, urban areas that are quite literally simply cannot provide enough housing for current population and future populations. Following along with that would be crime and violence. Again, sort of coming off of the pandemic, we saw a huge spike in that. Again, municipalities have to deal with that. And also the issue of transportation. In the capital city, Madison, that's a big issue in terms of, again, sort of public transportation. But that's across the state, I think, and in Eau Claire and other areas across the state where, you know, transportation, public transportation, affordable transportation, clean transportation, that's the issue.
Mm-hmm. And in the mayor's race in Stevens Point,
yes,
that is coming up quite a lot, too. The housing issue, the the big issue that they've had with the reconstruction on Highway 20, Highway 51 there. So the three that are running there, Melissa Johnson, she's an environmental policy and planning degree from UW Green Bay. She has quite a bit of experience. Craig Tesh, he's a Vietnam veteran, graduate from UW Whitewater, has run his own business. And then, of course, the incumbent, Mike Wiesa. So two from that race will move on.
Very good. Well, any and other, then, am I leaving anything out? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. Then moving on to the Outagamie County executive race. This one is a little messy. This is another one where, like I touched on with Jane and Kristen, the Facebook attacks from these anonymous groups that are attacking the incumbents. And it seems like the people who have the experience and the intelligence to accomplish these jobs, and they're attacking them on really things that make people angry, but don't have a whole lot of substance. So the people running in that race, the incumbent, Tom Nelson, Justin Krieger is a former board member, and then Kevin Stern, who's also a former board member. Now, this group is attacking Tom specifically because he badged into work for a total of 2.5 hours last January, January of 2022. And so they're creating all of this angst and frustration against that, but leaving out the fact that, well, there's a lot that he can do from home, which was his response. But then also his entire family apparently was dealing with COVID during that time. So legitimately, there's a good reason to not go into work.
Sounds fair enough to me. Maurice Shepherd, social media plays a role in elections at every level. My hunch would be that in local races, the influence of this kind of underground social media activity might be more influential than when you get higher up.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now, full disclosure, I am not a social media expert, but it does play a role. Yes. And it's cheap, it's easy, and it effectively gets, once again, information out there. In some cases, correct, accurate information. In some cases, incorrect and just, once again, sort of attack, once again, sort of data and information and that sort. What's interesting is for candidates now compared to, again, 20 years ago, you know, the better candidates have a staff and a team that can put together, again, an online social media package that can be effective. And I think particularly in terms of when we talk about the state Supreme Court race primary this evening, I think that some of that is showing between, once again, the candidates that are sort of in the lead or leading, at least at this point, that they've done a pretty good job, at least once again, in terms of social media outreach and that sort. And also making sure that in terms of social media, that they're targeting those voters, those populations that they need to target to win.
I want to check in with Todd Albaugh again right now, because the returns for the Supreme Court primary are coming in with alarming speed.
It's like a car show, fast and furious here. yes, from the decision desk, as they say, according to AP estimates right now, 39% of votes have been counted in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race tonight. And right now it's Janet Protasiewicz, the judge from Milwaukee, running away with the top spot. She has 164,000 plus votes right now, and she leads with 51% of the votes cast thus far or counted thus far. In second place right now, Jennifer Darrow, the Waukesha County judge with 21.3%. Then the former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly with 18.5%. And Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell with 9.3%. So again, that's with 39% of the votes counted. Interesting, following Joe Handrick, a longtime or a former state legislator who's kind of known as a numbers crunchy guru and for a Republican, he makes this very interesting observation. Here's the estimate so far from the village of Heartland in Waukesha County. All right, in Waukesha County, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, 160 votes, Doro, 126, Kelly, 53, and Mitchell, 14. He says, historically, conservatives combined would be much higher than the two liberals. And here you have Janet Protasiewicz leading in this village of Heartland in Waukesha County with 160 votes. Again, this is a trend, Terry, we saw, as we recall, back on general election night last November, where Governor Tony Evers did much better in those Wow counties and in Waukesha, didn't win everything, but did much better than Democrats or progressives have in the past. So again, we see this trend continuing, still early, still a lot of time to go, but continuing early for a progressive to do well in Waukesha County.
Thank you very much for that update, Todd. I know everyone's interested in the Supreme Court race in particular. Getting back to Melissa Kay now, any other races that you're covering for us tonight?
Yes, I'm also watching the Wisconsin Rapids School Board because, okay, like we touched on with the Facebook groups and kind of their insertion into those races. We've got five candidates running, one incumbent. It's happens to be the school board president, John Krings. And then the other candidates are Kathy Stebbin-Hintz, Jen Farmbrough, and then Mike Deary and Chris Inda, who are backed by that Facebook group. They literally put out a post and showed you a ballot of who you should vote for. And it included those two gentlemen and Dan Kelly. Surprisingly, in Wood County, the results are coming back already in for the justice. Janet Protasiewicz is leading there as well in Wood County, which is surprising considering they usually go conservative.
No, that's an excellent point.
On her heels is Daniel Kelly.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. I don't know if this is a continuation of the November election, which is a phrase I've heard a lot this spring, or what's driving that. But yeah, she's showing surprising strength in the rural red areas. So we'll keep an eye on that. Election night coverage continues right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Wisconsin spring primary election coverage continues here on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Primary election night coverage on your local Civic Media radio station. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an important night, the first of two this spring. Terry Bell, along with Todd Albaugh and Maurice Shepard, helping you break down the numbers and tell you what they mean. Joining us now is Don Brown. He is our Southeast Wisconsin correspondent tonight, keeping an eye on a lot of races. It's really busy down in your neck of the woods.
It sure is, Terry. And I just learned with 12% of the vote in for the 8th District Senate seat, I've got Dan Nodal leading with 52% of the vote, followed by Janelle Branchen with 34%, and Will Mobley with just 18%. Now, in the pregame, we were talking about how Mobley is a projected frontrunner because of the amount of how much he's outspent the other candidates. So you'll recognize that it is just 12% in. So it'll be interesting to see how this shapes up throughout the evening. With my three aldermanic districts in Milwaukee, because Milwaukee does a central count, it's going to be a while before we see any numbers on that. But if time allows, Terry, I'd love to give you the roster on each of the candidates. Again, 20 candidates in three aldermanic districts, all special elections. I don't know if how much time allows, but
well, we have the best opportunity right now because you've got.
I was hoping you'd say that.
You have several minutes before we do that. I just wanted to ask Maurice Shepard about the 8th Senate district race. It would seem as though Van Mobley was the money leader, but Knodal seemed to be the establishment preference. What do you make of this?
In different areas for state Supreme Court, local elections, and particularly in the primaries, money doesn't always sort of determine the winner. So you can have someone that once again raises more money and that sort, and they simply, once again, may not sort of follow through. Also, just in terms of the 8th district, there's been some, you know, studies and reports that may that give the indication that what has traditionally been a safe Republican district, that there may be a slight sort of leaning more maybe Democratic, or that, once again, that label of being a safe Republican district, that may be weakening just a bit. So, I think in terms of the eighth, it's going to be interesting in terms of who comes through. But money is important, but it always isn't the deciding factor. I think it particularly when it comes to primaries.
Thank you, Maurice. We have some breaking news right now in Todd Albaugh.
At the decision desk, Terry, we already have a call. The Associated Press now calling the first of the two candidates tonight in the state Supreme Court race for progressive Janet Protasiewicz. Janet Protasiewicz called as the first winner tonight in the state Supreme Court race by the Associated Press with 45% of the vote now in. Judge Protasiewicz has 47.6% of the vote. Right now, Jennifer Doro, the conservative, is in second with 23.6, Dan Kelly at 20.8, and Everett Mitchell at 8.1. So at 8:33 tonight, just after a half an hour after polls close, Judge Janet Protasiewicz is already called in that race. One quick note, in Waukesha County, Terry, 171 of 184 units reporting. So we're almost done counting votes in Waukesha County. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, the progressive candidate, has 32.3% of the vote in Waukesha County. Dan Kelly has 19.4%, Everett Mitchell 6.3%, and Jennifer Doro 5.3%. So if Janet Protasiewicz wins Waukesha County tonight, conservatives are going to be shaking in their boots tomorrow.
This is really a shocking development to me because during the whole Waukesha Christmas Parade trial, it was sort of assumed that we had a new political celebrity on our hands in Wisconsin with Jennifer Doro. I'll throw it to you three gentlemen. Do you have any insight as to what may be going on? Why would Jennifer Doro not carry Waukesha County of all places?
Yeah.
I'll jump in real quick. Again, tomorrow we'll look at this with fresh eyes. But you know, one issue may simply be that she got into the race fairly late. She doesn't really have a base. You know, she once again in Waukesha County, very strong. You know, and that sort. But again, underperforming right now. Okay. But also, I think going forward, that will be, again, if she is projected to, once again, sort of move on to the next stage here, she lacks, I think, that sort of political base, which simply takes time to build. So that's my two cents.
Don Brown, how about you?
Terry, my resources show that Judge Doral will win Waukesha County, but it will be the only county in the state that she likely wins. And it is true what Sheree had said, is that she did come in late in the game, and she was, again, her celebrity status with the parade trial has kind of made her, you know, more of an attractive candidate. But I also, some other things that have come to light recently, some scandals, one involving her son, I think, doesn't sit well with, I think, some families in Waukesha County, especially those whose children may have been victimized by fentanyl. So, I mean, not to take too deep a dive into that, but I think those are some factors.
I'll throw out this question. Do we have a tight race now for second place? Because we are expecting the urban counties to come in early, maybe leaning for Doro, and maybe Kelly may perform better in those outstate red counties as we go through the evening.
Is Kelly still close, you think?
Kelly is at 21.5 as opposed to Doro's 23.6. With about
That's
half the votes
too.
Counted.
I heard it's like a 4 or 5% difference between the two. And I did hear that Judge Doro has also won Washington County, or is in the running to win Washington County.
Okay, very good. So we'll keep an eye on that. We're also keeping an eye on a lot of candidates running for Milwaukee City Council. Don, you got your hands full with that.
Yeah, I'll give you a quick run through of the candidates. In the first district, which incumbent Ashanti Hamilton has vacated to take a seat in Mayor Johnson's cabinet, director of the Office of Violence Prevention, candidates are Zandra Bailey, a Rufus King neighborhood watch organizer, Marshall Martin, a high school world history teacher with National Guard experience, is also a corrections officer in his past. Vincent Tony, a career social worker. David Bowen, a former state rep and Milwaukee County supervisor. And Andrea Pratt, Andrea Pratt, the daughter of former Mayor Milwaukee Marvin Pratt, who was this district's alderman for 17 years. In District 5, where we have seven candidates, we have Joe Fish, a retired salesperson who works as a substitute teacher. Bruce Winter, who owns a car carrier business. P. Thomas Thaddeson, a retired Milwaukee police officer. Annette Jackson, who worked in three different city departments for the city of Milwaukee. Lamont Westmoreland, a Milwaukee business owner with a background in finance. Ray Banks. Sorry about that. Ray Banks, retired Milwaukee assistant police chief in 2020, who some see as a favorite in this district. And Jeff Spence, the director of the Milwaukee Sewerage District, is also running for the school board. And this is District 5, whose incumbent stepped aside to spend, actually to take a career and a job in education. In District 9, where the incumbent was removed for misconduct and misuse of campaign funds, there are eight candidates, including Odell Ball, a retired Milwaukee public school teacher, Walt Love worked in radio and television. Donna Ross, who also works in education. Jasmine Tyler, who boasts connections with Milwaukee developers. Laressa Taylor, a veteran and Milwaukee school teacher. Cherie Ray, a legislative aide. Amber Danius, who is an academic interventionist. And Russell Antonio Goodwin Sr. is a former Milwaukee supervisor. And in the 9th district, the big issue is the old Northridge Mall, which has been vacant for quite some time. And some of these candidates are positioning, reopening it as a shopping center. One wants to make it a police training center. So that's your field of 20 candidates in three districts, Terry, in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything going on? What accounts for such a large number of people jumping into the city council race this spring? Or is this terribly unusual? Does this happen all the time?
It's pretty unusual in my opinion. Yeah. So to have so many candidates, you know, usually there's, you know, one or two front runners, a lot of experience, but here you've got a lot of neighborhood. The themes that they're running on or the platforms are all very similar. You know, we're talking about reckless driving, crime prevention, cleaning up the neighborhood, economic development, some of the common issues that you were talking about in your previous segment. So it's really, it's anybody's guess who really would stand alone. I would imagine those that were previous legislators or those that were that served in the police may have some advantage. So, and again, there are others here too, social workers, educators, others, City of Milwaukee employees that have had a fair amount of public interface. So I would be remiss if I was to give you an extra opinion to say that it's his or hers in each district to win. So, but, I would imagine that, again, the retired assistant police chief in District 5, I think, would be a favorite in that race.
Don, I was just going to say we have some breaking news. Maybe you want to share this with us. It looks like the 8th District Republican primary has been called.
Interesting.
Yes, it looks like Todd Alba, do you have those numbers?
According to the Associated Press tonight, it looks like Dan Nodal, not looks like, it is being called by the Associated Press. Dan Nodal is going to win with right now 57.4% of the vote. That is with 64% of the votes counted tonight. 64% counted. AP calling the race for Dan Nodal at 57.4%. Janelle Brandingen at 31.8%. Mm. And Van Mobley at 10.8%.
Very good. Thank you very much, Todd. So it looks like the establishment candidate has emerged, as many people expected, although Van Mobley was thought to be much stronger than he turned out to be. He put in a fair amount of his own money into the race, is my understanding. Right. Maurice Shepard.
Yeah, well, money is important, and early money is important. But, if he's spending his own money, that doesn't translate, quite frankly, to votes. You know, it's better to raise nickel and dimes from multiple people because now you have them engaged, you know, they're, you know, supporting you in that sort rather than just sort of writing a big check, you know, and thinking that that's going to sort of carry you through. That just sort of isn't going to work. If I can follow up real quick in terms of some of the things that Don was talking about.
Yes.
And Terry, you were talking about in terms of, you know, why are so many people at the local level getting involved? I think it's part in terms of participatory democracy. We've talked about it a lot And I think people are now taking that to heart.
They're not just
looking at politics, they're getting involved.
In case you're just joining us, Janet Protasiewicz declared one of the first winner of the Supreme Court race, and Dan Knodel is the winner in the Republican primary in the 8th Senate District. Election night coverage continues on your Civic Media radio station.
Special live coverage of Wisconsin's spring primary election continues on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Primary election night on your Civic Media radio station. The ballots being counted very quickly, so quickly, in fact, that two races have already been called, or at least one is still in progress. Todd Albaugh, let's break down the numbers for State Supreme Court.
Supreme Court, Terry, right now at this hour at 8:47 Central Time, 57% of the votes have been counted according to the Associated Press estimates. Now 58, updating in real time. And again, Judge Janet Protasiewicz is the first candidate declared the winner by the Associated Press tonight. Right now leading the pack with 46.5% of the vote. Right now in second place, 23.4% is Jennifer Doro, the Waukesha County judge there, and then Daniel Kelly, the former state Supreme Court justice, at 22.3%, and Everett Mitchell, the progressive Dane County judge, at 7.7%. So right now, it is going to be a horse race, it appears, for the final spot between Jennifer Doro and Daniel Kelly, the two conservatives in the race.
The race for second place is on, and it should be interesting geographically as we see where those votes come in. Although, so far, we've seen tonight the vote counts have defied all conventional wisdom about where votes for whom come from.
And I just want to make sure I clear up. And on election night, we have to be careful because until things are officially called, and of course, these are not official until the votes are certified later on by the Board of Canvassers, but projections tonight, that early report I was talking about from Waukesha County, that came from journalist Dan Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So That's what I was going with there. We'll see. Maybe he got some erroneous numbers. We never know about that. But regardless, it appears that Judge Janet Protasiewicz doing better around those WOW counties, as we call them, around the Milwaukee suburbs than perhaps many people thought she might have.
And we also have a winner in the Republican primary for the 8th Senate District. That's the northern Milwaukee suburbs, to oversimplify it. That would be Senator, her name is escaping me.
Alberta Darling.
Alberta Darling's old seat. Thank you, Todd. Dan Knodel appears to have won the primary there. He will go on to face Democrat Jody Habersinkin, who ran unopposed on the Democratic side. So that race is all set. All politics is local. And joining us now to talk more about that is veteran journalist, Civic Media's Terry Barr. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. I love election nights. It's always so much fun to track the numbers and talk about why and what's happening so everybody in Wisconsin can understand what this means to them. I am tracking for you the Racine mayor. There's three candidates in this race. To move on to April, this has been a pretty contentious race. We have the incumbent Corey Mason and then challengers Jim DeMatthew and Henry Perez. Jim and Henry both say the incumbent has to go. Unfortunately, the numbers are coming in very slow in this one, but the numbers in the Mattis mayoral race very fast tonight, as you have been talking about with some of these others. Kind of a surprise. We've got more than 70% of the vote in now for the Madison mayoral race. And of course, the incumbent, Sacha Rhodes Conway, she's been saying she believes there is so much more to do, and it's why she wanted to run for another term. And she, of course, has been campaigning on this leadership and trying to say that she did great things during COVID-19. And she also is behind that rapid transit bus system. And then the main challenger, there are three, but her main challenger, Gloria Reyes, Gloria, former deputy mayor, former Madison school board president, and a former police officer. And she is saying basically she wants to invest in a plan that would take people from school right to work, to try to keep people in the area, find a good paying job, and find a home that they could afford. So here's where the numbers stand. As I said, with more than 70% in, that means we've got about 105 of the precincts added up out of 155. Sacha Rhodes Conway, the incumbent, is leading at about 58%, and that is followed by Gloria Reyes with a little half more than Sacha. So we've got Gloria at about 22% and Sacha at about 58%. We did have a write-in candidate in the Madison mayoral race. That was Daniel Howell. Unfortunately, he has said that he couldn't get his paperwork in time. And it was because he is a social worker, went back to school, and he says he missed the filing deadline because he was graduating from UW-Madison. He said, even if he loses, this is not the last that we will see of him. And then also Scott Kerr running with the idea of he has been a longtime employee of the city and working for the Madison Traffic Engineering Department, said he could really focus on making this a much more transportation-friendly city. But again, we've got the incumbent, Sacha Rhodes Conway, with about 60% of the vote. We have 105 of 155 precincts already counted. Her next closest is Gloria Reyes, and Gloria has about 27% of that vote. So right now, it looks like those two could be the two moving on to April.
Very good. And there is an advantage with incumbency, but Maurice Shepherd, it's my understanding of politics, is that that incumbent needs to get through their first reelection campaign before they can really enjoy that incumbent's advantage.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of, in some ways, it's like boxing, right? You, to beat the champ, you've got to knock them out. So yeah, the incumbent has the advantage. Also, in terms of Mayor Rhodes Conway, when you look at a map in terms of when she originally, once again, won the position, her base is, if you know Madison and the geography of Madison, the Isthmus, that's where her strongest support is, and that's the most densely populated area in the city. So, you know, her base is, once again, it's tightly compact, once again, and packed in the city, but it's where the most votes are. So she's doing something right now in terms of, again, the target population and getting those supporters out to vote for her.
And anecdotally, it would appear she's taking nothing for granted. I mean, she's been running television ads, and that's not somebody who doesn't feel like they have to worry about a race does.
Well, I think Gloria Reyes, she's actually been, she's gotten out of the blocks, I think, pretty fast. She has former Mayor Paul Soglin, his endorsement. She also has the endorsement of, once again, the Dane County Sheriff. So she's picking up some very strong, once again, sort of endorsements along the way. I don't think Mayor Rhodes Conway is going to take that. Once again, she's going to see this as a serious challenge. She'll get through the primary first, and then again, move on to the general.
Okay.
Terry, yes. Just a real quick note on some of the campaign finance
Thank
records.
You, yes.
This is just very general to kind of play off what you've been talking about. Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway, she had already the most money, and then, as you mentioned, commercials and things, she's been spending the most money through the campaign. But Gloria Reyes has raised most of her money from Madison donors specific. And she feels that that really shows a lot of what Madison and the residents here think about her. So I just thought that was an interesting tie-in.
That really is. You're also keeping an eye on the Racine mayor primary.
I am. And I mentioned that just a little bit. And no new numbers at this point, at least, to pass along to you yet. But what did happen recently, we've got the incumbent Corey Mason. Then we've got Jim DeMatthew. Now, Jim's a financial services representative. And he said he wants this to be looked at as a campaign of a disregard of public safety by the current incumbent. And then the other challenger, Henry Perez, he is a minister and a Racine alder since 2013. He basically agrees with what John DeMatthew says. And here's the interesting thing that just recently happened. DeMatthew filed an election violation complaint against the current mayor. He's accusing Corey Mason of campaigning near an in-person absentee ballot location. And that is something you are not supposed to do. But the two challengers to the incumbent, Corey Mason, they have been calling him out at every opportunity, including now filing this campaign complaint against him.
Very interesting stuff, Terry. A lot of intrigue happening down in Racine. Todd Albaugh is looking at some of the numbers. Anything to pass along, Todd?
Numbers are now at 62% of votes counted, according to Associated Press estimates tonight. We've already said that Judge Janet Protasiewicz is already in to the general election, and who her opponent will be is the big question right now.
Boy, is that tightened up.
Daniel Kelly is now at 22.8%, and Jennifer Doro also at 22.8%. So it is a statistical tie right now for second place. Here's a couple of interesting observations for you. Just want to bring these up quick here. This is from, once again from Joe Hendrick. And what he's looking at here is information from WTMJ in Milwaukee, which they're just showing the top two vote getters county by county. In Brown County, Daniel Kelly has 43% of the race, Judge Janet Protasiewicz 35%. So he's saying if you combine Kelly and Judge Protasiewicz, that's 78% of the vote. That means the most Doro could get there is 22% of the vote. Mitchell certainly getting some. Essentially, Kelly is doubling down on Doro in Brown County. So again, remember, Kelly is the more or less the Trump-backed candidate, and it's Doro who the former Governor Scott Walker, his team and machine is behind her. So it's going to be very – Trump already lost once tonight. His candidate, Janelle Brandingen, in the 8th Senate District, she's gone. So now see whether Trump could get in Kelly or not, or whether Scott Walker's team gets in Doro.
Hadn't even thought about the Trump factor. It sounds to me like this night is – or in the spring, I should say, is turning out to be maybe a continuation of November, perhaps a bit of a repudiation of Trump politics.
We shall see.
Very good. We have a lot of election night coverage coming to you throughout this evening. We will check back in with our correspondents around Wisconsin to give you the latest numbers. What we can tell you now is that Janet Protasiewicz has locked up her candidacy for April. It's a race now for second between Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro. Election night coverage on your Civic Media radio station.